Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
100 days ago, no one, even in their building, knew what this team was going to be. Had no expectations.
Yeah.
And now, within the course of 3 months, they're making a trade, sitting there going, we can win our division and we can go into the playoffs and make a run. You don't make this move if you're Washington and Adam Peters, unless you sit there and go, all right, we got a chance to win our division. We're good enough offensively. What do we have to do? Well, we're going to have to cover. Okay, Philadelphia's got two really good receivers. Detroit, two really good receivers. Okay, we got to lock them down. All right, we get a cover corner. And that's exactly what this is. You don't make this move unless you legitimately think that you can make a deep playoff run.
Dan Orlovsky on the big move of the day on trade deadline day. The Washington Commanders getting Marshon Lattimore from New Orleans. One of the better, best man corners in football. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. We got rain falling here. Not supposed to last much longer, though.
I'm hoping not. I do have a tea time a little bit later.
You have a tea time every day.
Every day.
Judah Forking joins us on the West Her Hotline of PFF. Judah, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
We're all right. We're a little bit surprised. We haven't exactly taken a bunch of calls about disappointment or anybody mad the Bills didn't make a trade here at the deadline. We thought they would. We thought they'd make some sort of addition on the defensive line. Safety was in the mix, but a quiet day for the Bills. And I don't know, would you classify as a quiet deadline day? There were some big moves, Mike Williams and
Za'Darius Smith earlier
Za'Darius
in the day.
Za'Darius Smith and just mentioned Marshon Lattimore, but I kind of expected more movement myself.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the moves kind of happened earlier, right? The Bills still did get Amari Cooper as kind of the big deadline move, if you will, even if it wasn't day of, which I think it's an interesting trend in the NFL that I think it's starting to, first off, there are more trades at the deadline, of course, and they moved it later this year, but also that the moves, I think, are happening earlier. So I'm not totally shocked. I mean, I don't think Mike Williams is moving the needle that much. I mean, Marshon Lattimore is a bigger acquisition there. But I think all in all, and certainly in the perspective of relative to previous seasons, the Bills' move for Amari Cooper is definitely a very significant one.
Just a thought here right now. Do you feel like the number of receivers that got moved, just focusing in on that position, comes down to any one factor above others? Is it just the flexibility within systems? You know, you see a skill set, you say, that fits us, and we can just teach them what we do.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Right, when you think about like certain position groups that you almost want to like learn the system, so to speak. Obviously, training a quarterback midseason is a very difficult endeavor, and they have a lot to learn in the playbook. But a receiver, I think, a little bit less so. And also, I think fits some needs in particular, especially as the like this year in particular, so many wide receivers went down hurt. That the healthy guys really did come in to replace. I mean, I think this is less so true for the Bills than other teams. But I do think the wide receiver in particular is an easier position, I guess, to kind of bring someone in and get them off the speed pretty quick.
Talking about the receivers that did get moved in the last even couple of weeks, Cooper, Hopkins, Adams as well. In terms of, we'll talk betting here with you a lot, Judah, like the moving the odds all that much, or moving the needle maybe is a better way to put it, right, with these players, because really the lines aren't going to get moved too much, I don't think, off one individual. But of those guys and some of the bigger names that got dealt in the last couple of weeks, who do you think kind of will have the biggest impact on all that?
Yeah, I think it's probably Hopkins and Cooper. And I think it's just because of the almost replacement value of the guys. Meaning when you go from the Kansas City wide receiving core, which really did not have, obviously after Rashee Rice went down, and they had Travis Kelce, I guess, who's kind of that wide receiver one. The rest of that roster, other than Hopkins, was extremely weak. I mean, they were getting production from Juju Smith-Schuster, and he went down. That just having him as kind of the stabilizing force, and we saw that on full display on Monday Night Football, I think is a pretty big deal. And on the Bills side, I think Khalil Shakir is a great player. You don't exactly want him as your number one. And I think it really has a trickle-down effect, where Keon Coleman's now going to see a lot of single coverage, where we've seen him develop a lot of this sort of chemistry with Josh Allen, and they're winning a bit more on these deep balls than they were earlier in the season. I think those two are the most important number one because of what they kind of do to the rest of the rosters, even if they are not necessarily the most talented of the receivers dealt. I think Davante Adams is probably one of the better ones. And also just these things matter on the margins more when you're in positions like the Chiefs and Bills are, where these marginal trades mean a lot, because there aren't that many things separating even the Chiefs and Bills from each other, meaning that they already have kind of the hard parts down. They have good defenses. They have elite quarterbacks. That these moves to wide receivers here are maybe those things that kind of push them a little bit ahead of the rest of the pack.
You know, the Bills and Chiefs together, this week the Bills play the Colts, the next week it's the Chiefs. We've been down this road a bunch. We maybe feel like the Bills have had a better team than the Chiefs in a given year, have seen them beat the Chiefs in a given year, but always comes down to the playoffs. When putting in context this year's version of the Chiefs to their other versions, Judah, where would you rank them? Huh? Strengths, weaknesses, better than ever? I mean, and the Hopkins trade, just how transformative is that for them?
Yeah, I don't think they're better than ever. I think the defense is actually a little bit worse than they've been the past couple of years. They've been incredible against the run. But I think the pass defense is a little bit weaker. On the offensive side, Mahomes is struggling a bit more kind of in the in-system plays, so to speak, if you can kind of think about plays as some scale of like a quarterback kind of having everything ready-made for him as opposed to like a quarterback creating for himself. And we've seen both Josh Allen and certainly Patrick Mahomes be among the best in the NFL at these creating plays. And that shows up in the data where Mahomes is still as good as he's ever been. But on a lot of these kind of schematic plays where you're kind of reliant on your receivers to get open, he's been far worse than he's been in basically any other year. And I think a lot of that has to do with, and by scheme, I don't really mean like scheme in the traditional sense of the word. I mean scheme in terms of like in structure. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the wide receiving play, which has been probably the worst it's been for Kansas City as Travis Kelce gets a year older and has a lot of those guys deal with injuries. Hopkins, I think it's an important move. I'm not sure it moves the needle and makes them kind of this dominant elite team. They still have a lot of flaws. It's still a weak wide receiver room. Obviously, a guy like Mahomes can overcome that. It's all relative to expectation. But I do think this is probably, from our standpoint on November 6th, I think this is of the Bills' Chiefs years. I think this is the strongest the Bills have been, relatively speaking, and probably the weakest that the Chiefs are.
Judah Forking with us on the Wesher Hotline from Pro Football Focus. Pro Football Focus, by the way, if you're wondering where to get like those stats on like anything, PFF Plus has got you covered. Unlock that for less than $10 a month with PFF Plus. So, Judah, as we're kind of bouncing around the AFC here, is that line last week where the Jets were favored against the Texans despite having four fewer wins, I feel like that was confusing to some. But is that kind of maybe a sign that the Jets might be one of those teams, and then they obviously cover and they win the game. Are they one of these teams that you could see going on a run and climbing back into this despite the fact that the beginning of the seasons look so poor?
Yeah, I think so. From a talent perspective, the Jets have been there, and their production also, I think, kind of lagged behind the results a bit. It looks a little bit different if they even have a kicker who Greg Zuerlein has missed some massive kicks that decided the outcomes of games. And, you know, if they're 5-4, I don't think people are kind of as puzzled by the line. even though like the fact that they are 5-4 is a little bit random. And I think it's like divorced from kind of the future. Meaning it is one thing to look at past performance and say this will kind of predict the future. It's another thing to kind of understand how that happened. And I think the results are a little bit noisy there. But yeah, I think that the Jets are a team to watch. They also, I certainly got better on offense with Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, and I think they'll benefit a little bit more from getting Garrett Wilson some more work at kind of the different receiver positions. He's been a little bit limited there. But if you look at their schedule, it's not particularly difficult, at least not they got. I mean, the Cardinals, I guess, are a little bit frisky, but it's certainly it's a 50-50 game by the market right now. They'll be favored against the Colts when they get a bye. And the Seahawks, Dolphins, Jaguars, Rams, and then they got to win their division games against the Bills and Dolphins. But they have the defense for it. I mean, they pressured C.J. Stroud on 55% of his dropbacks last night. The secondary is healthy for the first time in a bunch of weeks. They were dealing with a lot of injuries there. And we saw that this is an offense that certainly can get their ground game going. I think that's probably one of the things that's holding them back. But I would not count out Aaron Rodgers. The production on field has been there for most of the season. I think, relatively speaking, they've been pretty unlucky by the results. They're obviously a long shot by virtue of being 3-6. But I think they, of any team, has probably the best shot of a team that's kind of very much on the outside looking in right now.
I don't know how much you look at futures and things like that, but maybe they're too much of a long shot for that later in the year. We were talking earlier, Judah, about like is there a big five in the NFL right now? And whether you think there's more than that, or like Bills, Chiefs, Lions, Niners, and then who's the other team that I'm missing there? The Ravens. Do you think there's a big drop-off after that, or do you think there's another team that deserves to kind of be in that conversation?
Yeah, I think Washington deserves to be in that conversation. Certainly the market's lower than Washington than I am, but I'm not sure at this point what more we can see from them to believe this has been the best offense in football. And the Ravens have been incredible, but Washington has scored on nearly 60% of their drives. The next closest team is in the 40s. And even the defense has emerged over the last bunch of weeks. You can look at kind of advanced stats like expected points added, which tell you that they've been the best pass defense. And sure, they've played some kind of weak opponents, but even relatively speaking, they've held most of their opponents to their opponents' worst games. Like the Browns had the worst game that they had so far. The Cardinals had one of the worst games they've had so far. You can kind of go down the list that way. So long as Jaden Daniels is healthy, and I mean, there's no reason to think that he is going to be hurt, going to be any more hurt than any of the other quarterbacks. And this is a team that has the best offense in football and a defense that I think is fine. And in 2024, having an elite quarterback and an elite offense goes a long way. I think they should very much be grouped in with that category. And certainly when you want to think about futures, this is a team that has a real shot at winning the NFC. And getting that bye is so, so critical to betting on Super Bowl and betting on conference championships. I would have them firmly in that top tier.
What happened there? You know, Jaden Daniels, of course, is great. But the Cliff Kingsbury's been a joke for a while in the league. So, like, is something different about him that's making this work?
I don't think so. I think that having an elite quarterback can hide a lot of weaknesses, I guess. It's easy, I think, to say, like, okay, we haven't seen a rookie quarterback be this good. It must be Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, I'm sure he's done a fine job, but if you break down quarterback play in virtually any way, Jaden Daniels has been elite. I think that he is certainly to give credit for. And even when you kind of, and this is something I attempt to do, and certainly there are flaws here of just like breaking down plays that are things like plays to first reads or how often a quarterback kind of goes off script, so to speak. And Jaden Daniels does that very often. It's not like he's a guy who, like Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball nearly 75-80% of the time, basically, to just his first read, and he's going off whatever the scheme is telling him to do. Jaden Daniels is closer to like 55-60%, which is one of the lower marks in the league. He's doing a lot of stuff on his own. I don't think it's particularly great analysis to kind of just say, like, oh, Jaden Daniels is good, Washington's good, therefore Cliff Kingsbury must be great. I think that in football, there are a lot of competing factors and a lot of kind of interactions that create a specific circumstance. And it's certainly possible that Cliff Kingsbury is like playing to Jaden Daniels' strengths. These are things that I think film experts are better to kind of opine on than I am. But based on what the data is showing, I think so much of it is really just a function of Jaden Daniels has been absolutely incredible and is putting together perhaps the greatest rookie season ever.
Judah Forking, he is PFF, and also on Twitter at ThrowTheDamnBall. Judah, I am a subscriber to your website and have been using your betting game plans, you know, data-based stuff that's pretty cool. Like, I would recommend it to people if you want to just play around with it. For anybody that doesn't know what it is, like, lay it out for everyone out there listening, because I get your newsletter every week, and I think it's a fun and really interesting and really detailed look into the data before a matchup takes place.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that I kind of have two central goals, one of which is an understanding that, like I was saying, football is this game of incredible interactions, and there's so much data, and it's very kind of difficult to parse that data and see what's relevant, what's not. And I kind of go through a lot of some advanced data, I guess, that I think try and I piece that together to tell a coherent story. And the second thing is I focus a lot on tail angles. So I think there's a lot of thought and content, I guess, on things like the main line, the spread, the total, the money line. And I'm trying to focus on playing out unique kind of game stories and looking at things that are alt lines or same game parlays, even looking at some matchups, trying to kind of always understand what the market might be mispricing, and usually doing that on things that are further away from the kind of main lines, and playing out a story and saying, you know, if this thing happens, what are the second and third order effects? And it might not be the most likely of outcomes, but it's certainly a unique angle, I think, into thinking about games and then utilizing the data that I was talking about. Of kind of parsing together interactions to use that to kind of try and beat markets where I think they're weakest.
With that being said, without giving it all away, is there anything that sticks out about this Bills-Colts matchup specifically for you?
I think that the Colts are not going to be able to run the ball at all. Number one, because of how good the Bills' run defense has been, basically in every game but the Derrick Henry one. And the Colts have some pretty drastic splits. With Anthony Richardson at quarterback as opposed to Joe Flacco, and that's actually kind of fits into the historical data. And I'm not sure that the Colts can do anything right now to stop Josh Allen. And if you're putting Joe Flacco in some obvious passing situations, it's not exactly a recipe for success for the Colts offense.
Yeah.
So I actually will be writing up some Bills this week.
Very good. Judah Forking on Twitter at ThrowTheDamnBall and with PFF. Thanks, Judah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
ThrowTheDamnBall.com. That's D-A-M, ThrowTheDamnBall.com.
Yep. And reminder, PFF play. If you're ever wondering, like, where, how do I know Spencer Brown played a kickoff return snap? PFF Plus, less than $10 a month for that.
So he's on the Substack, and I get the newsletter and stuff in there. Like he said, game scripts. If you're the kind of person that wants, hey, I want $2 to win $200, what's a game script that could come out of this because this matches this? Like, he had Cousins going ham on the Cowboys with an alternate spread of blah, blah.
Yeah.
And that played out. Like, they lit them up.
Yeah.
And Cousins threw all over them. So, I like it. I enjoy it. It's like $10 a month. So, anyway.
So, Flacco this week. You want some Joe Flacco-inspired trivia here quick?
Always.
I don't think it's going to be that difficult, but let's give it a shot here. Instant trivia related to Joe Flacco, who will play against the Bills this week. Joe Flacco is one of eight Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl and then played the Bills on another team.
Eight Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Eight quarterbacks since 2000. Won the Super Bowl and then left and went to play. One more time. Won a Super Bowl and then played the Bills on a team that they didn't win that Super Bowl with.
Okay. This feels like the kind of thing we should get. It's all since 2000.
You should get it, I think.
All since
2000.
Okay,
yep.
Favre and Manning and Brady.
Favre is right. Manning and Brady are right. I'm going to make a 9 then because I only looked at Super Bowl since 2000.
Okay.
I had the Super Bowl winner date, but you're right. Favre would have played them for the Vikings and winning the Super Bowl in the 90s. And Flacco with Indy will be this answer. He played against the Bills with the Jets, but he didn't start.
Russell Wilson.
This game, Mike White got knocked out. Russell Wilson with the Broncos.
All right. Next, we will go to... I did Brady.
I think there's one tough one here. The rest are pretty gettable. Just double checking now. Make sure I didn't
miss
somebody
four,
from the Super
and
Bowl.
I've got four, and you say there are 9.
Yeah. I'm just double checking that. Because I only looked at Super Bowls going back to 2000.
Okay.
But Favre was right.
This is they started a game against the Bills after their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So Stafford is not correct. He won a Super Bowl. The Bills played him when he was with Detroit.
Right.
Not correct. Okay. Who else won Super Bowls? I gotta look at the NFL teams. Always have to do that. Rather than like spin your brain, stare at a logo. You'll find the
answer.
Wait.
You're right. I messed up how I described this. It's just they won a Super Bowl on one team and they
played the Bills on another team.
On another team.
So then Stafford is right.
Stafford's right with Detroit.
Okay.
Because there's another name on this list that did it before.
Okay. Also won a Super Bowl.
Everybody else, I think, did it after. Yeah, everybody else did it after, but there were two guys. Stafford was one of them that did it before. Okay. Stafford on Detroit.
Not, it feels like not that many
there
teams
was one
have
this
won.
Year.
Oh, hold on. Won this year?
On a different team than they won that Super Bowl with.
The answer to that one, obviously, is...
Come on.
Aaron Rodgers.
There you go. Rodgers with the Jets. So...
That's 6. There are 3 more?
Yeah.
3 more.
I would say they are... Are they the toughest? Yeah, they might be the toughest. Because you're going back more than a decade for these Super Bowl winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be...
So won the Super Bowl on one team, played the Bills on another.
I meant Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson. I thought that was the hard one. He played the Bills with the Minnesota Vikings in 2007.
And I guess Trent Dilfer is probably an answer.
He didn't start against the Bills.
No, he was on a bunch of teams.
Never did. He was a backup against the Bills in Seattle, but he never started a game against the Bills.
In that case,
you're both these. No, there's no correlation.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner with Arizona, and then one more. This is the other one where he played against the Bills on a different team before. So he was on one team, then went to another team and won the Super Bowl. And on that first team, he played the Bills. Way before he won.
I was gonna say like I'm way back to where like the Bills are in the Super Bowl.
I want to make sure you didn't say. Yeah, I don't think I missed you saying this name. I don't think you missed him.
Who is it?
Drew Brees.
Oh, I did.
With the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one to get.
Which is very forgettable.
Yes, yes. I remember him playing the Bills.
And now Flacco.
He lit them up. I think they had 35 at halftime.
Yeah. And now Flacco with the Colts. Nick Foles, I thought you might guess. Nick Foles never played the Bills his whole career.
All right. Flacco this week. A Flacco game. Bills to Indy. If you're taking the road trip, pretty cool.
Tomorrow we should do Indy quarterbacks because that's a good trivia that goes... Are there 10 in the last like 5 years? They have been a rotating door.
Curtis Painter.
That's where you started?
Yeah.
Curtis Painter? Yeah. Okay. Is he their starter the year they are horrible and they get Andrew Luck?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't try to get anybody
back. Manning
better.
Was out and they're like, we're just going to punt it.
Quentin Jefferson is signing with the Bills.
All right, there you go. Sal mentioned that earlier.
Mary Kay Cabot. Covers the Browns. Former Browns defensive tackle just let go is signing with the Bills.
Quentin Jefferson.
That makes sense. There's your roster addition.
Okay. Former Bill. Now current Bill.
Yep.
He played with the Bills for one season in 2020.
They were great that year.
Yeah. He had 6 sacks for the Jets last year.
Welcome back to the squad, Quentin Jefferson.
All right.
803-0550, our phone number.
That also probably would imply that Jordan Phillips is actually not returning to the Bills, right? Wouldn't you think?
Don't they have two roster spots?
I think, now that I thought about how Sal put it earlier, I think he's right.
That he was just trying to, like, campaign to come back?
A picture of himself and run it back. It wasn't, I'm coming back, right? Like, it's, run. Yeah, the way he said run it back, I guess now I'm thinking maybe that's not going to happen. His play does not dictate, like...
No.
There's nothing about his play this year or even last year that should say they should go get Jordan Phillips. So I guess Jefferson makes more sense for that.
Welcome back, Quentin Jefferson.
Q is his nickname on Pro Football Reference.
Everybody with a name that begins with Q, their nickname is Q. Period. Just like X.
Is that true?
Yes. Same with X. Your name is Xavier, people call you X.
That's the only name with X, though. Quentin, Quincy.
Xena.
Okay, that's right. You're saying if your name starts with a Q, your nickname has to be Q?
There's also Xander.
I think, okay.
X.
This is true with Z.
Xerxes.
This is true with Z.
If your name is Xerxes in 2024, that's just amazing. Good job on your parents.
I think I've had three friends in my life that names started, well, I guess first names or last names started with Z, and their name is Z.
Yeah. If your name begins with a Q, people call you Q.
Okay.
100%.
I've never thought of this, but I think that's absolutely
100%
right.
100% true. Quinn.
Yeah.
Quentin. Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
What other names?
Quincy was the only other
Quincy.
One I could think of. There can't be many.
Quasimodo.
That starts with a Q?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
All right, we'll get a break in. Quentin Jefferson, welcome back.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's the Pittsburgh Steelers because of the consistency that they've shown. You haven't lately, like their two losses were two close losses. Like coming into the season, I would not have believed at this point I'd be saying the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's because of the talent they have, but it's because of the coaching. Their coaching is humming right now. You got Mike Tomlin going out on a limb, and when I say out on a limb, going into his coaching staff and saying, I'm going to start Russell Wilson now, and knowing that that room was not in agreement with him. And then that coaching staff offensively having to turn things around and say, well, now we've got a game plan after we've been seeing the best of Justin Fields for the best of Russell Wilson and doing it. This coaching staff is the reason why I believe on any given day they can get this team ready to beat the Kansas City.
All right, Mike Garofalo, that the Steelers are the biggest threat to the Chiefs. They'll play Washington this week. That's a good one.
Yeah. We'll see if their downfall begins now. If they make it through this stretch, I will give them their respect, at least until the playoffs. Because that point is more about the coaching and whatnot. And, you know, like, their playoff failures, as I'll always point out, is not only about quarterback. During their playoff losing streak, they've given up 36, 45, 48, 42, and 31 points. That's more than your quarterback when you get to the postseason. So they have more to answer for than just Russell Wilson's better than Kenny Pickett. But I do think that is a big deal.
This week in the NFL, Cincinnati, Baltimore, tomorrow.
It's really good.
That's a good one.
It's a really good Thursday night game.
The other good games, how many games pit two winning teams against one another?
That would be one, though, right? Washington-Pittsburgh.
Washington-Pittsburgh, and there is, I believe, only one other game. Nope, there are two. Detroit-Houston.
Okay. Man, I am all over. I want to be all over Detroit in
Me
that
too.
Game.
Me too. And then the other one is Denver-Kansas City. Denver 5-4, Kansas City 8-0. That game is, hold on, let me check here, Arrowhead Stadium.
It's Arrowhead Stadium. Wait, no, it's, what's the field's name?
Geha Field or
Geha Field?
I don't know if it's G-E-H-A or G-E-H-A, which we'll say, but yeah.
At Arrowhead Stadium?
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. Do you ever notice the lighting in Arrowhead Stadium is just not as good as other stadiums?
The lighting?
It looks like it's yellow.
I'll tell you this.
Is that not right?
I think the lighting at Arrowhead is not great. I think the lighting at Highmark is not great. For a night game, yeah. I think the lighting at Highmark is not great at all.
I agree. It's just an old stadium thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Just an old stadium thing.
Tyreek Hill has said it, and there's been data to back it up, that the hardest place to catch a ball in the NFL is Arrowhead at night.
That's right.
Everybody drops the ball Arrowhead at night because of the lighting. And like the data backs it up. It is an outlier in how often receivers drop balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
can anyone's season end this week? Miami loses, their season's over, right? They are at the Rams. Would you say that about the Jets if they lose at the Cardinals?
Yes.
Okay. Cardinals are not bad, by the way. Like, looking back, that's a nice win.
They're scrappy
by the Bills. Cardinals by 1.5 in that game. Maybe that is it. Tampa, if they lose at home to San Francisco, they're starting to fall behind. They're losing ground quick while their receivers are out. And maybe that's it. Jacksonville might just fire their coach if they lose at home to Minnesota, I guess. All right. Pretty good slate this week, I would say.
I already had a stat of the day, but I want to give you another one.
Okay.
Because it's just too good. Here it is. What was the one I gave you before? Oh, it was Khalil Shakir.
Khalil Shakir.
If you missed it,
yeah.
Khalil Shakir's average depth of target is 2.7 yards.
Yeah.
And like, that is lowest of any receiver in the league.
Right. And it's
by a lot.
Wando Robinson's kind of close.
3.9 and no one else under 5.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's wild.
So you can decide if that's the stat of the day or if it's this one. That who leads all quarterbacks in rushing yards in the last 4 games.
In just the last 4 games? I think because of the messenger here, this is either going to be Drake May or Bo Nix.
Drake May.
It's Drake May?
Yeah. He leads all quarterbacks in rushing yards since he got the starting job.
Has he even played all 4 of those games?
He has more rushing yards than Kenneth Walker in the last 4 games.
Wow.
Drake May. Rushing yards per game this season. Number 1, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Number 2, Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
At 51. This puts it in context. Jaden Daniels has 51 rushing yards per game. Drake May.
Yeah.
If you take out the mop-up duty he had against the Jets,
yeah,
just go with his starts, 49 rushing yards per game.
Wow.
That's Jaden Daniels, 51. Drake May, 49.
And that's more than, who was number 1?
Lamar.
So he has more than, like, Allen and Jalen Hurts and Kyler, all these guys?
Yep. 50 rushing yards per game.
He's also got an arm. I hope they don't get it together.
They have to not get it together.
Yeah, because he's probably good. He's probably really good.
I'd put my money right now that they will be the thorn in the side for the next window don't know if they'll do it coach. Gerard Mayo, I'm not
That's
sure.
That's the thing. Like, they got sure. They got to build it around him.
Yeah, and they've not been really good at building anything, but they've got something. I really think they've got something with him. And the next challenger for the Bills, like the first mini Allen window, it was Bills and Patriots, right?
And then it was
Bills Dolphins. And the next window,
Bills Patriots again.
I think it might be coming back to the Patriots if they can get anything around Drake May.
Right. And they're still tearing it down. That's the thing, right? Like, I don't know when they're planning on building it up around him. They probably would hope by next year. I don't know what their cap situation is by then. They keep trying to sign receivers, and it's not working. Oh, that was mostly Belichick. Okay. Yeah, I'm a little spooked by Drake May a little bit.
He's fun to watch. I mean, I right now it's a perfect scenario where you don't have to be afraid of them at all, and you can just watch him and enjoy a good player.
Yeah.
Like, if he was in another division, I think, or even the NFC.
He's like this threat on the... You weren't a Game of Thrones guy, right?
Sure I was.
Okay. Like, season one, they're fighting over the throne or whatever, and every once in a while, they would like, oh, there's these whispers of this dragon queen on the other side of the world over here.
But she's not going to make it over here.
Yeah, they're not going to make it. We don't have to worry about it. She's all the way over there.
Right.
That's Allen is sitting on the throne right now, and there's this dragon queen, Drake May, on the other side of the world. They're like, oh, do we have to worry about that? No, I don't think we're fine.
The only problem is that ended for everybody but the dragon queen kind of poorly. Spoiler alert.
Right.
That's true. She kind of went crazy there.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. The Flyers have won 7 in a row.
Who?
No, I'm sorry, the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes.
The Philadelphia Flyers?
No, the Hurricanes.
I would say they're like last in the NHL right now.
They beat the Flyers, and they've won 7 in a row.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. The Hurricanes are like the best team every year that I always want to pick to win the Stanley Cup,
and they never do it. Yeah, they're consistently good.
Haven't we said this about them? Aren't they the Bills of hockey?
Yes.
Are they exactly the same? Every regular season, they're amazing.
And they haven't made a conference final in a while, or did they make it recently?
I think they've made one, and I don't know. And on the other side of that game, interesting you brought up Philly. I was thinking about them last night because I guess Briere is getting heat there.
Yeah.
Tortorella, maybe more, but that team is horrible, and like they got to start over. And their owner has said like more than once, "We're the Flyers. We don't rebuild." So
yeah,
I don't know what they're gonna do.
Hurricanes have made the conference finals twice. They lost in 7 to the Rangers.
Okay.
Nope. Sorry, they lost in.
They got swept one.
Well, both times, they made the conference finals. They got swept. Panthers.
So they've not. Think of this. They have been one of the most consistently good teams in the NHL for, like, what, 6 years now? Yeah. And they have not won a single game in the conference finals.
Correct.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. Revisiting some talk we had earlier about Anthony Richardson, I did do the math on first 10 starts of their careers, Josh Allen versus Anthony Richardson.
All right.
Here, their passing numbers are almost... I mean, they're pretty close. They're almost identical. Completion percentage, Allen 52, Richardson 50. Yards per attempt, Allen 6.4, Richardson 7.1. Touchdowns to picks, Allen 7-11, Richardson 7-8. Passer rating, 64-68. Sack percentage, Allen 7.9, Richardson 6.8. Here's the one number where they're more identical than any other, because I pulled up all of the rookie quarterbacks in their first 10 starts in the last 6 years. And intended air yards per attempt. Who's throwing the ball down the field the most? Allen and Richardson are like by themselves at number one and number two at 11.3 and 11.0. Like all these guys, Darnold at 8, Burrow at 8, Mahomes is down the list, Trevor Lawrence at 7, Jaden Daniels 7.8.
And those two are like, what, 13?
They're at over 11.
Yeah.
Like, these two showed up to the league and just started chucking the ball down the field.
I want to point out one big difference, and you don't have to you decide if you want it. You know, like Anchorman. I'm going to put it out there. If you don't like it, you can send it right back.
Yep.
The difference is Allen's first 10 starts all came in one season, a season where he was not supposed to start, really, and he went in because the starter was so bad, and the team was not ready for him to start.
Mm-hmm.
Who were his receivers? Calvin Benjamin.
Oh, they were nobodies. Andre Holmes. Yeah.
Nothing. He had nothing.
Yeah.
And he went out there and did that, and there was no offseason in the middle. Like, Richardson had three quarters of a season to watch and then a full offseason to keep working. Allen's first 10 games are all on-the-job training, and Richardson's first 10 games are 4 on-the-job training, and then the next 6 are you have Michael Pittman and Josh Downs and an offensive head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have everything at your disposal, and you had an off season, and now let's see what you got, kid. And that's, you're still in that spot. Like, give me Allen's first six starts of year two versus Richardson's first six starts of year two, and I feel like you might see a bigger difference.
I'm willing to buy that. I'm willing to buy that a little bit, that would be, that is what makes this different. And also, if I did that, I'm sure I would find, what was Allen in 19? It was more, it was short, right? Like, he had figured out the completion percentage. He still wasn't really completing passes down the field, but he was still playing pretty well. So, all right, I can buy that a bit. I also, as I mentioned earlier, I think one of the big reasons it's not working with Richardson is they don't think he's mature enough.
Right.
And yeah. I think they just can't say that in public.
Allen's quarterback rating went from a 68 to an 85 from year one to year two.
Okay. Right. That's huge. That's a huge difference.
His touchdowns doubled.
Yep.
Interceptions dropped a bit. Like, I'm looking for, success rate was moderately higher. The real jump for Allen came in year three. Like, that's where it went to where he lives right now. Yeah. Like, adjusted yards per attempt go where you want them to be.
Right.
So, yeah, like, yards per game for Allen, year one, 172, year two, 193, year three, add Diggs,
I mean,
part of it, 284.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the point about Richardson. Like, I feel like he has the Diggs piece, Pittman. He has the Beasley piece in downs.
He has some good players.
He's got Jonathan Taylor. He's got a lot to lean on.
Yep. I like his coach, too.
Yeah. 803-0550. Bills and Colts. It'll be Bills v. Joe Flacco on
Sunday. All of this is just more evidence of how incredible Allen's ascension is.
Yeah.
Like, it really is truly nuts. Maybe we don't say it enough. Like, him just, like, you know, week to week, like, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He was flawed when he entered the NFL. It's wild.
Extendo Sports on the way. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Stay tuned. Waiting for news on Keon Coleman's wrist injury. What kind of situation that is. We know he suffered an injury in the game. We'll get the update from Sean McDermott sometime today.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
And right now on ESPN, they're all picking the Super Bowl matchup. Mid-season point.
Are they all going to pick the Lions?
Probably. Andrew Hawkins, Ravens, Lions. Jeff Saturday, Chiefs, Lions.
I think it almost sounded like a hot take if you didn't pick the Lions. You could pick the Niners, just like, hey, they'll be healthy by then.
Yeah, the Lions look really impressive.
What would I pick?
Ravens,
right,
Lions for Dominique Foxworth. Kimberly Martin up next. Will the Lions sweep?
Don't you just sound like a... how do you not pick the Chiefs? Like, it feels like you're wrong to... like, you're just doing something if you don't pick the Chiefs. They...
you know what?
Their two biggest threats in the conference can't prove year after year to beat them in the playoffs.
The thing I want to see for the Bills the next, like, 4 or 5 weeks, where they would get in this conversation, because we've seen one game of it. We've seen one game of a healthy receiving core.
Right.
And we might have to wait longer. Like, part of McDermott's update today is not only going to be about Keon Coleman, but, hey, how close is Amari Cooper to returning? Because let's say Coleman, knock on wood, this is not true. Let's say they say, like, Coleman's going to miss, it's week to week. Okay, but Cooper's back. Right, now I got 2-3 games of just Cooper, no Coleman.
All right.
Okay, when do I get Cooper and Coleman? I don't need him to suffer an injury when Coleman... I'm eager to see what we saw in that very first game. And Cooper, Coleman, they played together in Seattle, but Cooper didn't really catch the ball. Might have been a wrist injury along the way. So the sooner we can see them at full power from a passing attack standpoint, where Cooper, Coleman, Shakir are all good to go. I tell you, I don't care what their record is right now, Joe. They can finish any record they want. They're going to win the division. I would trade those three being healthy, like a healthy passing offense, for, you tell me whatever seed you want to give it. The 3 seed, the 4 seed, I don't care. It's fine. That's more important than 2 versus 3 to me. Not that the Bills are totally in control of all that. Just I want to see that group healthy together.
We have the 506 map for the week.
I saw.
Like, nowhere is getting Bills Colts other than, like, New York and Indianapolis.
Yeah, small game.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, Washington in the whole East, and then Denver, Kansas City in the whole West. That's tough. Those are the two games to miss in the 1 o'clock window. That stinks.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us. We're back tomorrow. We'll have
our football tomorrow? Friday. Or no,
it's Thursday. No, you need the day Thursday. Of the week clock.
I send that thing over here.
I'll turn it towards you so we can both use the day of the week clock. It's
Scott
Wednesday. Scott Pianowski comes on. Some fantasy chatter, all that good stuff. Have a good day.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.